the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. I'm Alex Worley. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here with Whiteboard to Boardroom. We're going to take a problem and we're going to take it all the way down to making it become a product as if we were actually going to market and sell this thing. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Kara Santana is joining us. She is the founder of the Glam app, and we've got a problem here that we're going to solve. What's the problem?
So back when I was starting out as an actress, I would drive to 4 or 5 auditions in a day, all the way across town, have to memorize my lines, switch between character to character, tape the audition, wait for casting to review it. And I think that there is a simpler way to audition for casting directors and book a job.
So the problem basically is way too much time driving around when you could spend that time maybe doing 10 in a day if you just film for the audition and then send it. Maybe it's a live stream. Maybe it's just a video that we post on some thing that we're going to create now.
Yes.
Okay, so what do we write down for the problem?
I think the problem is...
how do we articulate this?
Auditioning platform for actors.
Perfect. By the way, for the viewing audience or the listening audience, Kara's standing on a nice box right now to make sure she can get that extra little lift.
I'm really sure. Auditioning platform. Actors.
We got it.
Boom.
All right. So target audience. I think we just pretty much said it within the problem.
Actors.
And
the great thing about that is they range from 3 years old to 80.
All right. So are we targeting mainly beginning?
No.
All anybody.
Actors. You always have to audition.
Interesting. Okay. So it could be anybody. Actors with some exclamation points. 3 to 85.
And a heart.
Wow. All right. So there we go. We got our target audience. We're flying through this. What is the solution going to be, though? How are we going to do this online? Is it going to be an app?
I think it's an online platform that also has an app.
Okay.
So basically, you tape everything. You upload it to your name, your backend platform, and then casting directors have an app. With every project that is in the breakdowns right now, they can click on it and watch all the tapes they want.
Okay, so we've got videos and we've got kind of like your little bio and some of your headshots and stuff like that. Everything that they need all in one place.
Yeah.
Okay, so write down website and website/app.
Website/app.
There we go.
Can't spell.
What about for the name? How are we going to name this thing? This is the fun part. Now, normally we would never...
Take one? Yes.
Take one. All right, let's leave it, put it up there for
now. You don't like that?
No, I think it's a great beginning.
Because you know that's what you go, take one?
Take one.
Okay.
All right.
Take one. Don't steal this idea,
like
anyone.
Like that, T-A-K. Is that how we're going to do it?
Oh,
we're
going to
throw
in
it. Okay, well nowadays people start spelling stuff crazy.
I meant take one.
So take one.
Yeah.
What about for funding? Are we going to take this thing and fund it ourselves? Are we going to go do a Kickstarter campaign? Are we going to raise money?
I don't necessarily think a Kickstarter campaign, but I think that we could raise the money from angel investors.
Well, hey, you got $2 million from somebody for the Glam.
True.
So
that's true.
All right. So you think that we'll go through private equity investors to get the funding for this?
I'd like
VC, something like that.
I don't think so. Not your first round. I think you should do high accredited net worth individuals.
Okay. Write that down.
High accredited
net worth individuals. For sales and marketing, what are we going to do? Well, how much are we going to actually raise, though? Let's narrow that down.
So
that's good.
What
do you think we're going to raise?
Well, I think to build out an app, you're going to need about $250,000 and probably...
Okay. We're always going to need more.
Exactly. You're always going to need more, but I think you start with what you have. You don't want to over-raise.
So give me a number.
So I'm doing the math in my head. $250,000.
Should we just call it $500,000? Better to ask for more?
No, I think $1 million.
$1 million?
Yeah.
Okay. Even better.
Because you're going to want to market... beta test.
Okay. So $1 million. How are we going to allocate these funds?
Well, so first you're going to have to build out the platform.
Okay. So and continue.
First, you're going to have to build out the platform. So I think you want to invest in your technology because that's key when you're starting a tech business. So I'd say $250,000 for the actual app. And then you're going to need about another $50,000 to $100,000 to build out the website.
Okay. And so are you think that much for the website? I guess at the end of the day, with all the stuff that we're going
to
have.
There's going to have to be functionality. Yeah, so I think that's important.
So what are we going to do for sales and marketing? Are we going to go straight to find different partnerships? Are we going to go to people in LA and Hollywood where the majority of people are going?
So I think you want to advertise in acting sort of based magazines and portfolios. So whether it's Backstage West or all these other auditioning platforms, Breakdown Services, with casting directors, submitted to all the agencies in New York and Los Angeles. Yeah. So I think that's how we go about advertising.
Okay, let's write some of that down.
Oh.
Just to recap here, I know you're the one with the best
pen
here.
So hard. Who would start a business?
Okay, recap just some kidding. Of these things.
Okay, so we're going to need to build out the app.
Okay, build out the app.
Build out app, website.
Okay, just short and sweet. Build out the app, the website, and we're going to find some of those partners like you were just saying.
Yep. Okay. So marketing to Backstage West.
Okay. So you already know all the people to go after.
Yes.
But this is perfect.
Breakdown services.
Breakdown services.
Yep. Right, services.
All right.
Trusty
what else?
Sidekick.
Anything
and
else?
Then I think you want to contact all the agencies starting from the top, like okay. WME, CAA, Paradigm, and all the way down.
There you go. What do you think our vision is? What's our ultimate strategy?
I think you have to sign up. Okay. And I think it should be a monthly membership.
Okay. Do we do it free initially for the first 1,000 or you pay right off the bat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because this is solving said problem.
This is true.
Okay. So you got to pay for the service.
Got to pay to play. But how much? What are we going to charge?
So I would say $20 a month.
$20 a month?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
I mean, if you think about the cost and gas that you're saving, $20 a month is a
there we go. So we have a model
fee.
That breaks it down where it's like a cup of coffee a day or a gallon of, you know, a gallon of gas, et cetera. Okay. So we'll say we're going to do this thing for, we'll just put it here, $19 a month. That seems like something that people will use. $19.99. You got to be the penny pincher there, right?
Yep. Nickel and dime.
I like it. So $19 a month.
Yep.
$19.99.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do? Is there any way that we can also benefit from besides just getting a monthly? What other things can we add on to this?
I think we also charge the casting directors to utilize the platform as well at a smaller fee.
So we charge the casting directors. How do you think we would go about doing that?
So basically, in order to subscribe to said company, you have to sign up for $10 a month so that you can download and have access to the actors using this platform and send these tapes to directors.
What about for social media? Can we use social media to leverage this?
Absolutely.
I feel like we could do some targeted ads to people that have already, you know, basically raised their hand saying, I'm an actor, an actress, I'm looking for auditions. We could target them.
Yes.
Do you think, which social platform do you think would be best? Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram?
I think Instagram.
Okay.
I think Instagram.
Why is that?
Well, I think Instagram is curated content. It's visual. People are lazy these days. They just want to see it. They don't want to have to investigate it that much. And I think you can do cool videos on Instagram that showcases actors using the platform and testimonials. And it's just a more cohesive way of articulating the most amount of information in the shortest time.
So what are our benchmarks going to be? If we have in the first 6 months, what do you think our goal is going to be from an acquisition standpoint of how many people we can get on?
So, we're going to have to break it down to see the cost per client for acquisition.
Yeah.
And I think that you're going to be looking at probably about $1 a person on ad.
You think it only costs us $1 to acquire each individual?
Yeah, I think once you break it down.
Really?
Yeah. Do you think more?
I think probably be a little bit more because the value of a customer initially is going to be $20 a month. So, we don't know what our attrition rate would be, how many people are actually going to drop off.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have to calculate all those in. But right off the bat, initially, our customer acquisition cost could be the first month. It could be $20 to acquire a customer. And if they just stuck around for a second month, we'd already have double the margin of the cost. So, I mean, I think it would depend. I think initially we have to do a lot of testing. Test on Instagram, test on Facebook, test with a lot of these different professionals.
But if you get the casting directors engaged right away, then it goes straight out to the community. That's the only way that you can do auditions. We're now closing down shop. You're not coming to us. You have to download this app, which would raise the acquisition level.
But why would they close down shop?
Because
that's their business.
Time. Because what they do is they record you, and then they go through all the tapes. They watch all the tapes after they've recorded you, and then they submit the tapes that they want. So you're basically cutting down their process and conserving their time, and time is money. So instead of wasting all the time auditioning you, cutting out the people they don't like, finding the tapes they do like, uploading the tapes they like, it's already uploaded. They can scroll and select the ones they do want. Don't worry about the ones they don't want. So that's why I think it's incentive for them.
Well, you seem extremely confident in this because this is the background that you have. So let's recap and simplify as we wrap up here. Go over the problem for us again and we'll go straight all the way down through.
Okay, so the problem is actors were trying to audition in a time and cost effective way.
Okay. Target audience, actors, 3 to 85, pretty much anybody who's interested in acting.
Anyone who's acting. This is the new model for auditions.
Okay, and our solution, we have our website and an app, and we're going to call it Take One.
Mm-hmm.
And then funding, we're going to get high accredited net worth individuals. We're going to raise $1 million in our first round.
I'm going to call Brad Pitt.
There we go. Might as well start with the actors and actresses.
Right?
They get it.
Exactly.
Okay. And last but not least, sales and marketing. Roll through it for us. What are we doing?
So we're going to build up the app and the website's probably going to cost us around $300,000. Okay. And then we're going to start marketing to all of the acting services like Breakdowns and Backstage West. And then we're going to go straight to the casting directors and big agencies and get everyone to convert from this from the platform they're using now to this, a more simplified platform. Take one.
I love it. I love when we do these whiteboard to boardrooms because these actually sound pretty good. And when most people would take a long time to take their idea to actually putting it out in the marketplace, we just did it in 13 minutes or less. Kara Santana, thank you so much for coming on the show.
I'm literally going to go call Brad Pitt.
And make this happen?
Yeah.
I love it. You got to get me in for at least a couple percentage
points. For sure.
Since we mapped it out.
Okay, perfect. 2%.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
So when people first hear about MediShare, they have questions, some really good questions, starting with the obvious, what is it? Well, MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's not health insurance. It's a different way of doing things, which leads us to the next question. Why do people do this? Why do they become MediShare members? Here are two of the biggest reasons. Number one, people feel good about it. They're not trapped in a plan that makes them pay for things they don't believe in. They know their money is going to help people. And the second reason, people save a lot of money. Maybe you've heard us mention the typical family saves about $500 a month switching to MediShare. And one more big question, does it work? The answer is yes, 1,000 times yes, or 400,000 times, since that's how many MediShare members there are, and they've shared over $2 billion in medical expenses. So easy to find out right now how MediShare can work for you. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. Our special guest today joining us is Inan Ravid. He's the founder and CEO of Albert. Inan, it's great to have you, brother.
Nice to meet you. Nice to be here.
All right, so give us the elevator pitch. What is Albert? What do you guys do?
So Albert gives simple financial advice and lets you take action right from the app. When we think about our target customer, mid-20s, second job out of college, heard it all before, save money, pay off your credit card, get renter's insurance. We've all heard this stuff, but nobody does it.
Yeah.
And we think nobody does it because it's really too hard to take action. So we've made it really easy to see how you stack up, how you look like. Basically, we look at your entire financial picture. We give you the 2, 3, or 4 practical things you need to do to improve your financial health. And we've built relationships with banks, with lenders, and with insurers so you can actually take the action from the app. And when we look at our customer, letting the customer take the action from the app is the really big game changer for us. People go from sort of procrastinating, being lazy about it, not doing anything, to actually taking an action and improving their financial health.
Is there anyone else in your industry doing this?
I think there are a lot of people in the marketplace that are targeting our target customer and that are offering financial advice. I think that our two differentiating points are twofold, basically. One is we make it really simple and very practical, so we don't try to overcomplicate with, you know, the old message of go down the path to retirement and pay off all your debt and save for retirement. We realize these things are very difficult to do in one shot. So we keep it practical, keep the things simple that you can do today. And two, we've built seamless relationships with large financial institutions so you can take action on our advice. And I think that's our really big differentiator that other people are not doing.
The target audience is people that are in their 20s, you were saying?
We've all been there before, right? Your first, your second job out of college, you're budgeting for the first time, you have to pay your rent, you realize you have belongings, right?
Pay taxes.
Pay taxes. You pay taxes for the first time. You realize half your paycheck goes, you know, or whatever it is. And for the first time, you deal with these things. And we've all had that feeling. And that's really the moment where we're building a product for. That moment where you first paid your taxes, first lived in, you know, left home and you have some
finally on your own and responsibility.
Exactly. You're an adult. You feel like an adult. The first time you have adult responsibilities, Albert helps you navigate those waters.
How did you come up with Albert, though? I mean, it's a great concept. A lot of times people come on the show and they have a business that was created out of a desire and a need to solve a problem in their own life. Was that the case for you when you graduated college? Did you have these struggles and wish there was an Albert app out there for yourself?
I think it takes a long time to realize the scope of the problem. So sure, I had these problems, you know, 10, 11 years ago when I graduated from college. I realized that an app, I don't think there were apps.
Then, that was like, yeah,
did I realize in 2005 that that something could have helped me with the process? Perhaps. I mean, I don't think I was that precocious, but, you know, over 10 years of hearing, you know, my sister go through, my younger brother go, everybody go through the same thing. Having spent a career sort of in the financial services, you start to triangulate around a need. And I've used basically every app in the store that, in the App Store and the Google
Play
Store.
That's in this space.
That tries to solve elements of these problems. Okay. And so I don't think there was a real light bulb aha moment, right? It's a problem that a lot of people have talked about. And there are various solutions to it. I think the light bulb moment for us was, can we make this really easy for people? Mm. And that took a long time to realize, for us at least, that that's what we think is the problem. And I think over the last few years, we've had a variety of, you know, life, work experiences that made us realize that the difficulty was a problem. And that is something that technology and relationships that we had could actually solve.
Okay. So is Albert your first business, or is this something that you've been building up to? You've had multiple companies and this is something that's finally going to be a home run.
I don't know about the latter. It would be lovely if it's a home run, but this is my second business. So I built another consumer financial services businesses before this. And prior to that, spent my 20s working at an asset manager in the financial services in New York.
How did you go from doing asset management into creating an app?
So my background is I studied computer science and economics in college. And prior to that, I would say I've been a tinkerer my entire life. I think I've been writing code since about the age of 10 and always been tinkering. And I think it was a matter of time for me when I would go into the, maybe not app building space, but the tinkering space, building something. Okay. And about 3.5 years ago, left the asset management gig. And I think all my bosses looked at me like I was a little crazy, but they realized I was happy and went off the deep end and went at it. And, you know, it takes a while to get, you know, you think you get into it. Okay, I'm going to go and build a startup. Like, I have all the tools. And you realize about 2.5 years and you have no tools.
Yeah.
and over time, just like anything else, you get good at it. And you know, we're 3.5, almost 4 years deep into the mission.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. Again, Anand Ravid is joining us right now. So at 10 years old, you were doing coding and programming, you were saying. So take me back to that, because that's not something a lot of 10-year-olds were doing, at least definitely not myself. So what was that like at 10 years old, being in that type of a mindset?
Rather simply, I think I built a web page, right?
You built a web page but still at 10 years old.
That's what you did at 10,
I think a lot of adults nowadays don't even know how to build a web page, but at 10 years old, you were doing that way back in the day. And it's easier now than it's ever been.
It's a lot easier now, but now you can build more. So back then it was a lot of work to build a web page and make it click and, you know, I don't even remember what was on it, right? It was, but we tinkered, you know, tinkered back.
Did you always want to be an entrepreneur, or was around 10 years old when you realized that you had this capability of creating web pages and doing things a little bit different than most people your age?
I don't know if the goal has always been the entrepreneur, right? I don't think of it that way. I like building things. I got to build things while I was at the asset manager, and I got to build things afterwards, and I've always sort of gotten to build things, and I like building. So the goal, and I think the goal at each point is in my career and before, is just be in a position where I can build something, whether it's as part of an organization or not. I mean, it's best to be part of an organization. It's not as fun to be off the deep end by yourself, but be part of an organization and build something. To me, that was always the goal.
Okay, so building things is a passion of yours, being creative. And you've been involved in a handful of different companies now over the last decade as an entrepreneur. So what do you think for the aspiring entrepreneurs, or for the entrepreneurs just getting started, what do you think are three things that every beginning entrepreneur needs to know before they get into business?
I think more than anything else, realizing that going to start a business or being an entrepreneur, however you want to describe it, really does, the 10,000 hours adage applies.
Okay.
And it takes time.
And so what do you think those three things are that you wish so the, you could have gone
first,
back?
The first, it's not going back, but have the self-awareness to know. So the first one is knowing that I'd be, that you're really behind the curve when you start, that there are other people that have put in those 10,000 hours and you're competing with them, right? And they're building similar businesses or they're building photo apps. It doesn't matter. They're there. So that's one. And I think, you know, I'll focus on that one because everything sort of comes from that, really. It's all about
self-awareness.
It's all about the work, right? Yeah. And everything comes from the work. I don't think there are three specific things of, you know, I wish I wore blue every day, right? Yeah. It's the self-awareness of the work you have to put in. And it's not that we didn't put in the work, but knowing on that journey where you are in the work and knowing based on the work that you've put in, where is really realistic for you to be.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertising. This ad is sponsored by...
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Eric Jones is our guest joining us right now. He's the founder of Sidestep. Eric, it's a pleasure to have you, brother.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us again, what's your company do?
So Sidestep lets fans order concert merchandise before, during, and after the show for VIP pickup or delivery.
So give me an example. Last time you said you got Adele, Beyonce, Fall Out Boy, some of your guys' clients using this app.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're a fan of Beyonce, you can see all the merchandise that she's selling. You can browse and buy whatever it is that you want to purchase. It's all the official Beyonce tour merchandise. When you order the merch, it'll be waiting for you at the show for easy pickup.
So is this before, during, and after, or just before and during?
Before, during, and after. Okay. So we offer both pickup at show, or if you can't make it or you're sick, you can have the item shipped home.
So the old school model is you just show up, they have the merchandise at the venue, and then maybe the person has a website with the stuff on it. But you guys simplified this down where it's like, download our app. Is the app for free?
Yeah, free.
Okay, so download the app for free and pretty much just you're going to dominate the whole music industry. Is that your vision goal?
Yeah, and we're doing a pretty good job at that right now with the artists that we're working with. And you know,
because you got some of the biggest ones already.
Yeah. It's really helpful having those artists. But you know, the core problem why I was inspired to start this company, it was the idea of having 20,000 people all in an arena, all at the point of sale, all very excited. They're kind of there the whole night because they paid to be there. And I think if the experience is you have to walk up to a very, very long line, wait in that line with cash in hand.
That's the reason why when I go to these shows, I never buy anything. Like if I actually love the person on stage and I'm like really like a big fan, then I might feel compelled to buy some of their merchandise or maybe buy it for somebody I'm with as a gift or something. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, it's those lines, that, which is so true. If I could just sit there on my phone on you know your guys' app, it'd be so much easier.
Yeah, definitely. So it's really convenience for the fan. And I think if you have to walk up to a very long line, wait in that line, get to the front, the item that you want isn't there. There's so many broken
parts. Oh, they don't have it in a medium or a large? Great.
It happens all the time, yeah. And I think you know with Sidestep, it's for the fan, it's all about convenience for the artist. The reason why we're getting these really great artists using sites, it's because we're the first company to actually capture real data on who's buying what at the show. So for the first time, if Beyonce is playing to 60,000 people at, let's say, Rose Bowl, we now know who is actually buying that merchandise if they order through Sidestep.
Okay.
And that's something they can use to engage, identify, and, you know, further add value.
So, I mean, I know that with technology nowadays, you guys can track and measure the analytics and data of each individual user, when they bought, different things like that, and put them into a pipeline where if that person buys another future ticket to Beyonce, there's different ways that you guys can remarket to them?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Okay. And data for us is very important, where even with Ticketmaster, Access Ticketing, two partners that we have.
Your company is literally built on the foundation of data.
Yeah. It's when you have, when you understand who's actually buying the merchandise at a show, in our opinion, and what we're seeing, you've just identified the super fans. Fans that will continue to buy merch, continue to stream the music or buy the tickets. And unlike food and beverage or parking or even the tickets themselves, if you buy the merchandise at the show, you're very inspired by the show, by the artist, and they'll continue to engage with that artist. And we're finding who those people are.
So do you have some way yet to calculate lifetime value of a purchase or a user? Like, for example, for every user that comes on, they're worth $25 over the next 6 months. Do you guys have data like that yet?
Yeah, slowly.
I know that it's going to take time. The longer you have, if this thing has been around for 5 years, you'd have tons of that data. Yeah. I'm just curious because I used to hate numbers and hate math in school again, right? Like, I wish I dropped out of school like you. But as I got into business, I was like, dang, this whole numbers thing and math and making sure that every decision you make moving forward is strategic based on data and analytics.
Yeah.
So now I like thrive off of this stuff when I actually get excited about the numbers, which is why I was asking, you know, do you know you got 100,000 users, the average one's worth $6.15?
Right. Yeah, it's still pretty early for us right now. Okay. I think what we're seeing, you know, our average order value is $75. Compare that to the average order value at a concert away from Sidestep, it's like $55.
So you already have that data.
Yeah, and another really compelling data point, which all the merch companies that we work with are loving, where we're actually predicting real data on demand, where for the first time, when you have the entire tour line available for pre-order, if we launch that tour line for Beyonce 2 weeks before the tour begins, we now know down to, I think, about 1.7% exactly what is going to be the most popular product and popular size variant throughout the entire tour.
And you guys could even send, and again, I mean, I'm just making stuff up because there's so many things you guys could really do, but one that popped into my head was you could send a push notification that says, hey, the show is about to end, buy some of the merchandise, 25% off. I mean, there's so many different things you guys really could do, which is why this app really is actually a genius idea. My question is, what separates you and protects you from anyone getting into this space?
Totally. It's the upside with working with Sidestep and the partnerships we have. Where
so you feel like you've already got your feet pretty deep in?
Yeah, the moat's really deep right now. And it's not just the artists that we're working with, which that's a very powerful thing, but it's more the partnerships that we've cultivated with Ticketmaster, with Access Ticketing. And we're basically building, you know, proactive sales channels that do not exist today for artists. For the first time with Ticketmaster, we can proactively message fans that bought a ticket to the show saying, you're going to Beyonce at Rose Bowl, here's the entire merch line, you can buy it here. So we're providing the artists not just the data, but a marketing vehicle to drive more sales.
So have you met Beyonce and Adele and them? Do you actually get to meet them?
No, I get the pleasure of meeting their merchandise people.
Okay, you're going to meet the director of merchandise and PR for them and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious because I was like, that'd be a pretty cool thing. Maybe after you've made them enough money, you'll be able to say, hey, I want that meeting, all right? I know exactly with the data here how much money I've made you guys, which I think is something that's really cool about your guys' app. Founder of Sidestep's joining us, Eric Jones. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We didn't talk about raising money yet, and I said that we were going to bring it up. So I want to know now, how much money did you guys raise? Can you disclose it?
Yeah, we've raised just under $2 million.
Just under $2 million. Mm-hmm. And what do you think is the hardest part? Nowadays, raising money is a trend. They've got freaking TV shows about raising money nowadays for products and ideas. Yeah. So what do you think is the hardest part?
I think it's romanticized quite a bit. It's really not, at least in my opinion, it's not the most fun. It's really the necessary.
They try to make it seem like it's kind of glamorous. In some ways, yes. Mm-hmm. Meaning like, oh my gosh, you raised $5 million. But in reality, you wouldn't celebrate getting a $5 million loan from the bank because you just got $5 million in debt. Now, granted, somebody could rationalize good debt versus bad debt. Mm-hmm. That's another conversation. But what do you think was the thing that let you raise the money? Because you're a young guy and, you know, sometimes they say you bet on the jockey, meaning the person versus the horse, the company. In your case, what do you think they bet on?
I think early on, it came down to me as the founder, how I can articulate the story, talk about what we're looking to accomplish and what we've done so far with what we have. Now it's really based on data, where we've done about 8x growth since last year in every single metric you you can.
That'll make the investors pretty happy,
yeah,
right?
They're loving it. But I think, you know, the biggest challenge is just making sure you're persistent. You'll get a lot of no's. I mean, you'll get, for every yes, you'll have 100 or 200 no's. And that can get hard on the entrepreneur because you love what you do so much. You love the vision, and to have someone, a professional investor, say, nah, I don't see it.
Yeah.
It can weigh on you quite a bit.
Okay. And so at the end of the day, when you got the investment, what was the first thing that went through your head?
Let's hire some people. Yeah.
How did you decide to allocate the funds? Was it your decision? Was it the investor's decision?
Yeah, it was my decision. I mean, we started off when, you know, we first did that Fall Out Boy tour.
Okay.
About 2.5 years ago. It was just me and one developer. So that's not that many people.
Yeah.
So for me, it was let's hire really, really great people to fill in the voids. Let's expand the team, the devs, because we want to build a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
And the sales. Let's make sure we always have artists coming onto Sidestep.
How are you guys continuing to get new people on? I mean, you've already got so many big names, and I feel like that's really the hardest part, is you get up the hill, you get those first couple big names, like you've got Beyonce, Adele, Fall Out Boy, and a bunch of other big ones. But at the end of the day, how do you sustain that? How do you keep moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, the big artists, they kind of, you know, we take a one-to-many strategy with the merch companies and management companies, where it makes it easier to have more tours come onto Sidestep, but it's a really big market. And we want to make sure that we can serve not just those top tier artists, but those that are playing theaters or small amphitheaters. And that comes down to what product we can build to make it more self-serve. So if you're an artist that's signed or not signed or with a merch company, you can use Sidestep to sell your merch for pre-order and get all the value that Beyonce gets.
Which is incredible. What do you think is the next step for you guys? I always want to know, from a founder especially, right? Where do you see this company going in the next maybe 3 to 5 years, which is really hard to project. Yeah. Maybe we'll do 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, so in 12 months, I mean, my passion, my love is music. Everyone at Sidestep plays an instrument, or we just share music all the time.
Which is so cool how you went from music and now you've got this.
Yeah, I wanted to make an impact away from playing drums in a band.
Yeah.
And this is a good way to do it. So I think, you know, music is something I really care about a lot, and I want to make it better for the artists of tomorrow, starting today. So I really want to continue the path of music. But with that said, we built Sidestep to cross into other industries. We're speaking to a couple now outside of concerts.
Yeah.
So I think for us, 3 years from now, let's say, ideally we're starting to take over the live event merchandising space, bringing transparency to it, bringing data to it, and bringing a marketing vehicle that doesn't exist today.
Which is, I think, an amazing vision. And as the founder, your job is to be the one that really not only sets it, but also make sure you build the team around you to move forward. What have you been doing to make sure that you're building a team around you?
Hiring really good developers.
Where do you find those developers? Because nowadays I feel like there's so much talent out there, but there's so much more opportunity for the talent. And, you know, from sitting with so many people out here, the hardest thing to do is actually find the great talent. Mm-hmm. And if you do find it, the second hardest thing is to retain it. So how are you doing that?
Yeah, so I, with our investors and advisors, I keep track of what they do in their industry. And I think every hire we've had so far has been through referral from an investor or an advisor. Okay. Saying, we know these people, meet with them, talk to them, and they haven't let us down once. So yeah, I think if you have investors, you have advisors, you have a network of people, or even mentors, they have pretty substantial network. You should you know, take advantage of that and say, hey, we're hiring some people. Do you know anyone at all? And
yeah.
9 times out of 10, they'll provide you a couple people.
Eric Jones, the one and only. Thanks so much for coming on the show, brother.
Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
What business structure is right for you? I'm Alex Worley with the Business Rockstars Minute. One of the most important questions before starting a business is what legal structure to choose. The simplest way to start is a sole proprietorship. With a sole proprietorship, your business earnings are taxed only once. This is for one individual who owns and operates the business. A partnership is when a business is owned and operated by several individuals. There are general partnerships and limited partnerships. It's best to consult with a business attorney to decide which is right for your business. There's also the more complex corporation. It's also one of the most expensive business structures. A corporation is an independent legal entity separate from its owners. When you finally decide on the business structure, remember to reassess after a time, as laws are always subject to change. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute. Bye.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertising. This ad is sponsored by Case Legal Media. Attention. This is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation.
Call us now at 800-972-1329. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-972-1329. You must protect your legal rights. 800-972-1329. Again, 800-972-1329.
If you travel for business or pleasure, Hotels.com and the Hotels.com app is all you need to get great deals on all kinds of properties all over the world, and with an amazing rewards program that gives you free nights to stay at a property of your choice. Now, speaking of Hotels.com, we have an amazing Tech It Out contest for you. If you feel like you're in need of a getaway but are a little tight on cash, listen up. Each week, Hotels.com and Tech It Out are giving away a $250 Hotels.com gift card to put towards your travels. All you have to do is as follows. Go to Twitter and follow at hotels.com. Tweet out why you deserve a trip, just a sentence is fine, and include the hashtag Tech It Out. That's it. Once again, to be eligible for the $250 Hotels.com gift card, one given away every week in August and September, follow Hotels.com on Twitter, tweet why you need a break, and include the hashtag Tech It Out. One randomly drawn entry will be chosen each week. Good luck.
Join Mark Lack at the CEO Roundtable.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is our CEO Roundtable segment. So as always, joining me are two rockstar CEOs. Tell us, who are you and what do you do?
Dennis Yu, CTO of Blitzmetrics, and we create jobs for young adults.
I'm Courtney Jones. I'm the CEO of Sweat Cosmetics, and we create cosmetics for women who lead an active lifestyle.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, guys. And I just want to point out, you are wearing your clothes right now, because I called you out. I was like, are you wearing your stuff? And you are wearing it. What is that one? I love that one.
I am absolutely
looks
wearing
so comfortable.
It. We're a cosmetic company, so I'm wearing our makeup right now. This is actually, I'm doing another interview later this week with Dress Barn. Have Very never cool. actually worn their clothes. They make some fabulous stuff. This is not an ad. Yeah.
I love that. Well, I told you guys I wanted to get started with, you know, going back into the past, sitting down and over coffee, tea, lunch, dinner, whatever you want to call it, sitting down with your younger self in your first year of entrepreneurship. So you're young like me, so I don't care if, you know, maybe you've been in entrepreneurship for 3 or 4 years, you still probably know a lot more than you did in your first year. Dennis over here has got a little bit more wisdom and experience than us. So go back and sit down at coffee or tea with yourself in your first year of business. What's one piece of advice you'd share with yourself? We'll start with Dennis.
So what I tell the young Dennis Yu is the most important thing is to focus on building your team. Mm-hmm. People are number one. People precedes product, your platform, anything that you have to sell. Because right now, I spend 80% of my time coaching and developing our team. And when I sit down with other entrepreneurs, it's the same thing that they talk about. Man, what can we do to find good people? How do we keep these people? How do we inspire them? So you have to take care of them. And I was so busy as an entrepreneur that I didn't take care of our people to say, what are your goals? How can I help you with that? Why are, you know, if you were late on a report, what was it that was behind that? And can I do something to help you?
Yeah.
And it's okay. You have to care for them as people.
Yeah.
And that's where retention comes in. We lost 2 engineers to Facebook. And after that happened, I thought, oh man, how are we going to recover? We can't have this many, these engineers in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
But people for, that's the advice 20 years ago.
And I love that because, you know, mine would be very similar if I sat down with myself and I was just thinking, what would mine be? It would be based around people as well. I would say, look, in a few years, you're going to become a really big connector and networker with a very valuable network of individuals. And so start focusing on that sooner. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've only been doing this for a few years, but it's like, if I would have even started sooner knowing how valuable people and connections and networking and partnerships can be, I would have started even sooner. What's yours?
Well, I actually have a follow-up question for you, Dennis, if you don't mind.
Dive in.
I think just with a new company, mm-hmm. right now, the founders are the core group, and mm-hmm. we haven't really explored past that. And at what point as a CEO or when you started a company did you realize you had to expand and spend time on those people and that expansion rather than your current projects?
When you hit that oh crap moment, when you can't deliver, when you have more customers than you know what to deal with, and you can only work so hard, right? Every entrepreneur mm-hmm. gets to that point where they work, and yeah. then they can't handle the rest yeah. of it, and you realize
yeah.
you gotta hire more people
totally.
To take care of this stuff.
Totally.
Now that we have more sports teams, mm-hmm. we have more e-commerce clients, we mm-hmm. have more lead gen companies,
yeah.
there's no way we could do that with 15 or 20 people. Once you get to 40 people, I think there's like a Dunbar number there. Once you get to about 40 people, mm-hmm. all of these other things fall apart mm-hmm. until you have process. And what happens is A-level people hire A-level people.
Mm-hmm.
But B-level people hire C people who then hire D people. Then pretty soon it's like, oh, how did these people get in here? When I was at Yahoo a long time ago, we were a hardcore group of engineers, and I was so, you know, awesome, you know, to be part of this team.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
then 5 or 6 years later, when it was 12,000 people, I thought, how did he get into this company? How did you show up here, right? So
yeah.
to prevent that kind of cultural slide, mm-hmm. you really have to maintain your values, and you guys are all pro Olympic. How many gold medals do you have between all your founders?
We have one of our founders has 2 gold medals.
Wow.
Yeah.
And all of the accomplishments, all of the things that tie you together,
mm-hmm.
do you have a way of codifying that so that when you need to scale, everyone else just believes in this
right.
and you don't have to create a lot of rules? If you create
right.
too many rules, that's a sign that your culture isn't strong enough.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is the CEO Roundtable, and as always, we have 2 rockstar CEOs who will tell us who they are in a sec. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Give us a quick recap. Who are you and what do you do?
Dennis Yu. I founded Blitzmetrics. We create jobs for young adults in sports and e-commerce.
Pleasure.
I'm Courtney Jones, and I'm the CEO of Sweat Cosmetics, and we create cosmetics for the real woman who leads an active lifestyle.
Thanks for being here as well. One of my mentors, Max Carey, one of the founders of Outback Steakhouse, built it from 1 restaurant to over 2,000 restaurants. And when I asked him how he was able to do that, how he was able to build a multi-billion dollar company from 1 restaurant to over 2,000, become the second largest mid-level restaurant dining chain in the United States, he said, we always knew we were going to have 2,000 restaurants, and so we built the first one with the end in mind.
Mm.
And so the way that they did that was through systems. Mm. And so Dennis is a master when it comes to this, but I also want to hear from you as well. What are some of the systems that you have in place, whether it's just something as simple as staying organized, making mm-hmm. sure that you get the right things done in the right mm-hmm. period of time, or whether it's crazy systems that are based around metrics analysis so that you can take more mm-hmm. appropriate action? What are some of the systems you have in your business?
Well, I will say this. We've only been launched for about a year, so I think we're almost hitting that spot where we have to start creating that type of structure.
Yeah.
And it's so hard in the beginning with working with 5 girls. At first, only 2 of us are really full-time. And that's really hard to have 2 full-time employees working with 3 part-time employees where mm-hmm. they still have jobs to do. They still have roles.
Yeah.
And we sort of have to have our hand in everything. Because we are with the company every single day. So
yeah.
I think that started off a little rough as we started integrating each other into the company. So it's been about a year. I will be totally upfront and honest, about a month ago was when we really sat down. And roles might seem obvious, but you need them written down. So we went through an entire list of everything that our company does, mm-hmm. who is in charge, and we gave them a backup partner just so they could chat. That girls need that. So we have 2 people basically on every job, and I will say it's so hard to not want to control every little aspect.
Yeah.
I was the first one to go full-time, so it's hard for me to relinquish control, but I almost have to at this point. There's too many other things that need to get done.
Mm-hmm.
So to be totally honest, we're starting to get into that structure. We're starting to get into these specific roles and who reports to who. And again, mm-hmm. I still hate saying that. No one
right.
in our group right now with the 5 of us really reports. We do make a lot of team decisions, but we're learning slowly that you need that type of structure in order to grow.
Well, I love that you brought that up because I feel like a lot of people struggle with that.
Yeah.
You 2 are absolutely amazing. And we really appreciate you for coming on the show. So thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.